Dennis. So what I'm going to do today is introduce you a little to our organization and why an owner of a mixed-use urban building might choose to pursue a living building challenge and some of the concerns that we have as we go into this. And as Dennis said, we've successfully fundraised around this initial step towards a living building challenge. And the deliverable is really a report and a roadmap. And Dennis mentioned some of the supporters, but he failed to mention that all of you in this room are going to be participating at the end as we brainstorm ideas around the behavioral, technological, and also policy issues around water independence in buildings. So we're
I wanted to surprise him.
I gave away the secret. So, so thanks in advance for all of your help. This is going to be instrumental in really exploring how we achieve water independence in mixed-use buildings. So to give you a little background, we started back in the 70s, and our mission is really to support those who are getting off the streets onto pathways towards lives of self-sufficiency. Our overall goal is to end homelessness, and we serve about 15,000 individuals in Portland and the Multnomah County area annually. And we started in the 70s as, you know, Dennis mentioned, getting people clean and sober through our replacing essentially the drunk tank in downtown Portland with a drug detoxification and treatment center. But we also noticed after starting that homelessness is caused by a lot of other things. Addictions, besides addictions, it's also mental issues, not having health insurance, unemployment. So we really started to think more holistically and beyond recovery, implemented health care, both physical and mental, employment services to help people get a job, to help people keep a job and go through the training necessary to find one. And the things that we're all involved in is our transitional and permanent affordable housing. So we develop affordable housing in downtown Portland, but I think more importantly for our motivations in seeking a living building is that we own and operate those buildings. And many of our buildings are like the Henry up on the left there, which is a historic residential hotel. That's one of our 22 buildings and contains several of our 1,400 units of affordable housing that we have in Portland's central city. Besides existing buildings, we do new construction as well. And if you all come to Portland, I'd like to invite you to see one of our newest buildings, the 8 Northwest 8th building. And it's really innovative, and I think it speaks to our interest in using design to really change behavior and also to encourage positive interactions. And also it speaks to our interest in really creating the most durable, easily maintained building that will last over 100 years. So perhaps this is best illustrated by a story. Billy down there was in and out of the state penitentiary for 17 years, came to this project because he had gone through our drug detoxification center, started out in one of the units on the lower floors there, one of the 120 single-room occupancy units that are 140 square feet each. Over 6 months, he got clean and sober, and he then successfully got a job in a health clinic and moved on up to the permanent housing, of which there's 60 studios in this building. So, you know, this building, you know, not only is it just a home, it is providing the community that supports Billy and his kind of changing of his lifestyle. And so this building is alcohol and drug free. There's all of the 180 units in there are people in recovery. And really, all of those people, especially the ones who've been there for a couple of years, are providing positive role models for Billy. And then as he went on to live for 2 years in the permanent housing, he did the same for the other people coming into the building. So I think this is really kind of maybe a parallel for an opportunity in a living building, is how do you create a community that's supportive of changing behaviors and really changing people's perceptions and how they think about their lives. Our newest project is in the Pearl District, nearby this 8 Northwest 8th building. And, of course, this is in Portland, Oregon. And what we're doing here is we're really looking at those people who are successful in our programs, having families of their own, or reuniting with their children. And they want to stay in the same kind of supportive community that is the downtown area. They like the access to the jobs that are in the downtown core, good public transportation, the existing amenities, of which there's parks and grocery shopping. And one of the things that's missing in a significant number in this area is affordable 2- and 3-bedroom units. And so we are proposing, we're building this high-rise that's really a mixed-use building for families, 175 units of studios to 4 bedrooms, primarily 2s and 3s, and responding to the lack of 2 pieces of family infrastructure in the neighborhood, we're also building a public community center and a child care facility in the basement, in the ground floor. The building doesn't have parking. It's targeted to families earning no more than 60% area median income. And what that means is for a family of 4, you could make up to $40,000 U.S., now Canadian, too. And Sarah Architects produced this slide, which I think is really illustrative of, you know, the choices that we had available to us as we were taking on this building and how green do we go. It illustrates everything from your typical code building on up to higher performance green buildings, and then even towards the future when we might even be able to contemplate restorative buildings. If you all have ever worked with Dennis before, he has this acronym that he encouraged us to think about, BHAG. Does anybody know what that is? Big, Hairy, Audacious Goals. So Dennis encouraged us to really think about challenging ourselves as we think about long-term operations in the building, realizing cost savings through innovation and simplifying systems. And so the green communities is an affordable housing standard, which we adopted earlier, and then we pushed that boundary and chose the Living Building Challenge to go after. And so as Dennis mentioned, we're starting this early work, and we're now still in conceptual design with the building on the hardest component of the Living Building Challenge that we see, which is the water independence piece because of the difficult regulatory environment. And this summer we'll be producing a report. You could visit this website to download it when it's available, urbanwatershed.net, but we'll also send it out through the Cascadia newsletter so you all have it right when it gets released. So unfortunately, I had some passport issues when I was coming to Canada, so I actually didn't make the first opening keynote and then later opening the conference, but I heard there was a lot of talk about poop. Imagine the poop and pee that's generated from 500 residents in a building. In this building, there could be up to 350 children, 250 parents. In the community center and childcare portion, there could be 300 daily visitors. And when you multiply that by all the potential fixtures in the building, that's a lot of water, gray water, and black water to deal with. And so we really hope you can help us think about this significant challenge in this urban mixed-use building to see how we can't tackle issues around water use and reuse in our project, which should be finished in about 4 years.